We're going to continue to talk about our commitment to the Word of God. 2 Timothy, once again, if you would, please, chapter 3. And I'm just going to give you a few more, this is a little more academic than normal, because the teaching on the Word of God is very important. And I've actually even toyed with the idea of kind of going through somewhat of an apologetics type class and things like that for us, because I think that there is value to that, because I think we should know things, not just be parrots and say, well, my preacher said, you know, but why do you believe it? I don't know. Okay, something like that. Is my parrot pretty good? Something like that. Okay. Stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you would, please, if you're physically able. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to read a few verses here. We'll start in verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. As we talked last week, we spoke about how important the Word of God is. And what Paul was telling Timothy is, Timothy, you're going to be bombarded with everything that you can think of. You've got to rest in the things that you know, that you've been assured of, and that's the scriptures. Those are the things that you've got to hang on to. And can I just say, in our day and time today, folks, we've got to hang on to the Word of God. We cannot let it go. We cannot let people take it from us. Okay? I'm not even saying necessarily the physical taking, you know, them taking away our Bibles, but they're taking it away in other ways. You understand that, don't you? Because of how people are attacking the Word of God and how they're going after the Word of God. They're trying to take away its validity, right? They're trying to take away its potency. By the way, folks, if we don't let them, they can't do that. Because we can say, no, the Bible still says this. By the way, I find myself in this place all the time where the world says something weird and crazy, and I say, no, that's not true. The Bible didn't change. God hasn't changed just because you've changed. And by the way, some of the worst offenders of this are religious groups and churches. They're getting away. Well, you know, God didn't really mean. Yes, he really did mean. Because it says. He really. Remember what Peter said, right? The scripture is of no private interpretation. By the way, that's what a lot of churches do. They privately interpret the Bible for what they want it to say. And that's not how it works. So we've got to understand that the Bible has to be something that we're committed to. Folks, I can't think of anything that has helped me more in my life than the Word of God. And I don't mind saying that. By the way, and you've heard me say this, as a pastor, the reason why I include so much scripture in what I preach is because it has better things to say than I do. And I really believe that. And sometimes we just need to hear it again. I really appreciate, as many of you, even recently, have complimented the preaching and teaching here in this pulpit. And all I can say is, praise the Lord, amen, it's the book. Okay, because it is. But see, the thing is I may be able to say something in such a way that just kind of makes, I'll just pick on him because he's fun to pick on. But Brother Camp, I appreciate him.
He listens in church. I'm excited about that. That's fantastic. But he said to me the other day, what was that? Wake him up, Mrs. Camp. He's sleeping again. He said something about how he appreciated the message. He thanked me and he said, I had never thought of that particular thing in that way before. You know, so that's what we want to make sure to do, is to stir up our minds. And you know, others have said things like that to me as well. And it's probably just because God gave me a weird way of thinking. I just think the way I think. I don't know why, but I just do. And I guess it makes sense to some of you, which I'm so excited about, because I didn't think that was possible. But regardless, it's not me. It's this book. It's the Word of God. And by the way, it's not so mysterious as people want to try to make it. You say, well, I just can't understand all this and all that. And you know, then of course you get into the old English part. Well, the these and the thous and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, it's not really that hard. I mean, I know I have a pretty decent IQ. I get it, but some people's IQ is the same as their shoe size. You know, I mean, I understand that too. But it's not about intellect, right? It's not about aptitude. The Word of God is supernatural. And the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us is supernatural. That means it goes beyond my nature. It goes beyond what I'm capable of. It's supernatural. It's over. And that's what I have to rely upon, is that when I don't understand, God understands. And when I don't get it, God has already gotten it. And he's already given it to me. And it's just a matter of time, and I'll get it. But if I have the constant commitment to study the Word of God. By the way, don't quit. If you seem to find something that doesn't jive, there's a modern term for you, right? Not so modern. I guess about the time I was born, they were using that word consistently. Okay? Right? 70s? Jive is a 70s word, right? Okay? Now, but if it doesn't line up, that means you just haven't found the answer yet. That's all. It doesn't mean the book's wrong. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to know. It just means you haven't found the answer yet. So study to show yourself approved unto God. It's just that simple. By the way, don't make up a new doctrine while you wait. You know, in the meantime, we'll just make up a new doctrine until we really understand it. No, that's not how it works. We're just supposed to wait. But the Word of God is so very important. These are just a few of the things that we've talked about. This collection of 66 books from Genesis to Revelation is the very Word of God. Okay? Nothing more, nothing less. I was looking at a graphic today of several verses, and I can't even remember the number. There's a number, but several verses that are in the King James Bible that are not in the other versions. Okay? There's a reason for that. Because they come from two different manuscripts. Bottom line. And so I even told somebody asked me one time, but don't be so hard on these other versions. They're still the Word of God. And I said, no, they're not. And by the way, you know, one of my favorite sayings is things that are different cannot be the same. And guess what? We have one God and one Word of God. Period. So they were saying, well, then I asked that question. So, well, how can the King James Bible have these several different verses in them, and these other ones don't even have those verses? They don't even exist in there. So if those are missing, what else is missing? And if it's missing, then why would you call that God's Word? Because if God's missing something, then he's not God. Right? So I have a commitment not only to the Word of God, but I have a commitment to this King James Bible because I believe it is the Word of God. It's what God wants us to have. It's complete. There's nothing missing. And there's nothing wrong with it either. It's the infallible Word of God. It's inspired by God. We've talked about that. By the way, you say, well, we should follow the originals. No, sorry. It's right here. There are no originals. Well, no, I mean the really old ones. Those were copies too. They were. The originals are long gone, folks. Well, what about the ones that are in the museum and blah, 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 blah? Those are copies. They are. Now, they're copied the way they're supposed to be copied. And by the way, the ones that are of the correct nature, that follow the right timeline and time frame, not the ones that are corrupted. It's been proven, folks, that the library in Alexandria, Egypt, the scribes in those offices there in Alexandria, they would take all the writings and the books and the scholars and the things from conquered lands, and they would alter them to their beliefs. That's a fact. That's a secular historical fact, including the manuscripts that Mr. Westcott and Mr. Hort used to bring their translation of the Bible in the English language, which every single modern English version comes from. A corrupted text. This is all stuff you can look up. This is not just in some Baptist textbook. This is historical accounts of the Bible. Now, there are no originals. But God has preserved by very protective copying His Word. I want you just to study this. If you have, I know you'll appreciate it. But you need to study how the Hebrew scribes would copy the Word of God. It's amazing. I mean, they had to do all kinds of things to make sure that when they needed a new copy, by the way, the old ones would wear out from use or age, which, but trust me, by the way, I understand this, okay? My son is looking at vehicles as well. But just because a vehicle has low miles on it doesn't mean that everything's going to be okay. You all are Texans, okay? What does the Texas sun do to rubber and plastic materials? It destroys them. I had a pair of bowling shoes up in the attic in my house in Arlington. That's the only place that we had room to store them. By the way, you try putting 15 people in a 1,387 square foot house. Okay? Your bowling shoes would be in the attic too. That's where my bowling shoes were. So I had this great idea and take my wife on a date. So I go up to get my bowling shoes. And I put them in the bag and we go to the bowling alley and I tie my bowling shoes on. And they were, at the time, they were nice bowling shoes, when I had bought them. And so I got my bowling shoes on and I get ready to go. You know, I'm all warmed up to go and I go like this and I go, and as soon as I flexed my back foot, you know, because on my follow through, you gotta have a good follow through. Okay. Guess what happened? The sole popped off. Right off my, you know why? Because the Texas heat ate the glue on my bowling shoes. Things wear out, folks. Hey, you buy a 30-year-old truck, guess what you're going to have to do? Hoses, belts, bushings. Because the Texas heat eats them. They just wear out. That's why you don't really want to be running around on 10-year-old tires. Because you'll be going down the road and all of a sudden you won't be going down the road anymore. You might be rolling down the road, perhaps. So the copies wear out. But these scribes, before that happened, they would actually have to sit down, and as they were copying, they had to follow all these rules, all these procedures, which even included some ceremonial baths. They had to bathe themselves and wash themselves under certain circumstances. They had to even change they weren't pens, by the way. They didn't just whip out a new pen, you know. The quills and things that they would write with. And when they wrote the name of God, they had to go through a special ceremony. And it had to do with getting a new pen, only writing, you know, the name of God in a certain way. I mean, it's arduous just to make a new original. Because that's what they would do. Once they finished and it was perfect, they would now say, this is the word of God. And the other one was destroyed. And so they would do that time and time again over the course of time. Folks, these things are very, very well recorded. And that's how God chose to preserve His Word. It's perfect. And listen to me. We can commit to this. These things are not wishy-washy. They're not, well, that's your account of how these things happen. No, they're facts. And the Bible is a fact. We believe it is the absolute, final, perfect rule of faith, doctrine, and practice for the believer in the English language. We have the Word of God. And we can commit to it. You know what? I am not even worried about any commitment that I make to the Bible. I know it's never going to let me down. It's never going to embarrass me. It's never going to make me ashamed. Isn't that what Paul said? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You understand that this book is trustworthy. You can give it your life and it'll keep it safe for you. That's how much we can trust it. We can live by it. We can breathe by it. We can pass it on to the next generation. Everything by the Word of God. You can make that much of a commitment to it. Because it's the Word of God. Now, here's some things that the Word of God is not. This book is not just a book. It's the book. This is the Word of God. And you can trust it as such. You can commit to it as such. God said it. That settles it. Period. And you know what? You don't even have to believe it. I've heard other people say that. God said it. That settles it. You know, I believe it. Well, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It's still settled. Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven, right? I mean, it is. It's settled whether you believe it or not. It's still God's word. And it is not just a book. It is the Word of God. This book is not a science book. It's not. This is not a science book. But all the science that it does contain is true. You know, scientists go out to try to prove the Word of God wrong, and all they've ever done is proved it right. Let's give you just a few. In Job 26, it alludes to the fact that it says he hangeth the earth upon nothing. You know, the earth, explain how the earth is where it is in our universe. You can't. You really can't. Scientists really can't wrap their head around that, right? The circle of the earth. Oh, sorry, all flat earthers. Okay, that's in Isaiah 40. The wind circuits in Ecclesiastes 1. That's a real, you know, have you ever studied the wind circuits? That's a real thing. How do you think they get efficiently from one place to another with airplanes? They've studied the wind circuits, the currents. The stars are numberless. You cannot, it is humanly impossible to number the stars. We can't do it. We're finite. Now, God knows exactly how many there are, but we can't. He says they're without number. The reflection of the moon, I mean, even if you go into animals, you got Leviathan, you got stuff like that. How about this? The Bible's not a history book, but it contains history. You know, I forget which one it was. I think it was like the Hittites or somebody like that. That for many years, archaeologists thought the Bible's wrong. Because there was no human record of that culture. But all of a sudden in like the 1940s, 1950s, guess what they discovered? That group of people. Oh, once again, the Bible's right. But it's not a science book. It's not a history book. It's not just a book. Hey, by the way, this is not a good luck charm. You know, I do enjoy movies on occasion, and I can't remember which one it was, and I don't know if it was a bad one. I'm sorry that I watched it a long time ago. But somehow, some way, some soldier or some character in the movie, they had a little pocket New Testament in their coat pocket. And they got shot with a bullet, and it stopped it, you know. So that, what were they portraying the Bible as? Kind of a religious trinket, you know, a religious good luck charm. Or no, maybe you've seen one where a religious medallion or something stops a bullet or something like, you know, something like that. Folks, this is not some, you know, let's just rub our little lucky rabbit's foot here and... And, you know, if I love it and read it and obey it, God will give me good things. I'll get my $1 million. The Bible's not a lucky charm or a religious relic, if you will. Hey, can I tell you something else? The Bible's not a Ouija board. You all know what that is, right? If you don't worry about it. It's not. It's not something, I can tell your future. You know, that's when people say, Pastor, what's the will of God for my life? Well, I don't know. Let me see. Why do you come to me with questions like that? I mean, it's like, no. That's not how you find the will of God. That's not even what the will of God's all about. Can I tell you what the will of God's all about? Obeying Him. You say, in what? Well, He gives a whole bunch of things. We can figure it out. The Word of God is not something you go find a crystal ball. And by the way, this is not a crystal ball. This doesn't, if you will, this doesn't tell the future. It tells us about the future, what's going to be happening. But by the way, we know that the Bible even says that with some of these things, we don't even, none of us can know when this is going to take place. But we know that it is going to take place. This is not something that we worship either, by the way. As much as I revere the Bible, I don't worship this book. I worship the God of the book. Because this is His Word. So, you know, I don't set this down on a table, you know, somewhere and light some candles and, you know, bow down and pray to the Bible. That's not what it is. You know, and you understand that's the reason why God didn't allow Moses' body to be known where it was buried. Because He knew that the people would set up some shrine and worship Him. By the way, I've been to the Vatican. Twice. I've been there. I tell you what, St. Peter's Basilica is the spookiest place that I've ever been in my life. I mean, it makes the hairs raise up on the... Who else has been there? Nobody? Oh, you poor people. It's spooky. You walk in there and the hairs are raised and I have goose, what do you call them? You call them goose pimples or goose bumps down here? I call them goose bumps. I've heard people call them goose pimples. I don't know why. Just spooky place. But you know what it is basically? As soon as you walk in the front doors, they have all these statues of previous cardinals and popes and things like that. But right in the middle, there's a shrine to what they say is Peter. And it's these four giant columns of mahogany. And you know what they, you know what these columns are? They're spiraling columns all the way to the ceiling, from the floor to the ceiling. Just giant columns. They're serpents. Carved serpents that wind up to the ceiling of the dome. And underneath there, there's this little, people can't go down there, but there's candles all over, and then there's this kind of a glass enclosed box, and they say that those are the bones of the Apostle Peter. Well, that's what they say. And people, they worship that. They bow down and pray to those things. They go by and rub the, they have signs up there now, but they rub the feet of these bishops and priests and, you know, these people. It's idol worship. Hey, listen to me. Somebody said, well, you Baptists, you have a cross there. I'm like, yeah, we have a cross. It's a reminder of what Jesus did for us. By the way, it's empty. You see that? But which one of you have ever seen in a Baptist church people going to the cross? Anybody? I've never seen that. This book is not an item to be worshipped either. But the God of it is. You understand that the Bible is the Word of God. And we should revere it. We should love it. We should read it. We should memorize it. We should use it. All these things, and I'll talk about that more next time, but I want you to understand, we must be committed to it. And just these few little things that I've said tonight, I want you to understand, these are true, documented, historical things about the Word of God. And I really didn't even get into a whole lot of the translation of the King James Version of the Bible. I didn't get into a whole lot of the man named Erasmus that collated, he gathered together the documents that he knew to be pure and true throughout the known world at that time. He put a lot of work into it. Just study his life. Study what he went through to get these letters from, you know, to the Ephesians and to the Corinthians and he made sure to find the right ones, not the ones that had been corrupted. By the way, he bypassed those long before Westcott and Hort ever came around. And so this is all historically documented. Don't cow down to people that say, well, you just don't know all the things about it. You know, the Book of Thomas is a religious writing. What about those Dead Sea Scrolls? They'll throw this academic stuff at you. They're lies, forgeries, and it's not the Word of God. We don't need any more. We have a more sure word of prophecy. It's right here. God has given us this book, and you can be committed to it 100%. And by the way, you should be. Don't let anybody ever turn you any slight off of the Word of God. You've got to stay true to it. And we'll talk about a few more of those practical things next time.